Nadja Spiegelman, writer and creator of three graphic novels, is the daughter of Art Spiegelman, also the creator of graphic novels and comics. He is the creator of the Pulitzer Prize-winning graphic novel Mouse. Her mother is Françoise Mouly, the art director at The New Yorker. In a memoir called I'm Supposed to Protect You from All of This, she details her complex relationship with her mother, which became increasingly turbulent during her adolescence. After learning about her mother's troubled past, she traveled to France to stay with her grandmother, where she unraveled family mysteries and uncovered secrets. Her book is published by Riverhead, and I'm very pleased it has brought Nadja Spiegelman to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Did you begin this as a class assignment?
I did, yeah. But it blossomed into so much more. It ended up being a project that fulfilled so many different interests of mine, both personal in terms of understanding this woman who I'd idolized and feared as a mother and realizing that she had this complex past I'd known nothing about growing up, and also as a way of confronting the shadow of my father's work by doing something that mirrored it but was different in my own.
Well, your father talked about his past in Mouse. Could this have been a graphic novel?
I think I needed a little bit of space to do something that was slightly different.
Your father did dedicate Mouse to you. Was being a writer-illustrator inevitable as a result of that?
I had the great fortune of having parents who were so encouraging of whatever it is that my brother and I wanted to do. When I bought a camera, within a week, my mom had built a dark room in our basement. So I don't think I had to be a writer. I think it just was something I wanted to be.
Early on, your mother points out the similarities between you and your father, Art, when he interviewed his father for Mouse. Were you aware of the similarities?
Yeah, it was one of the reasons why this was a project that I was drawn to. It was a way of facing what he had done of the shadow of his work by interviewing his father and interviewing my mother and the matrilineal side of the story. And also, my father's work touches on these enormous parts of history on the Holocaust. And this is much smaller stories, but it's the kind of stories that happen to all women throughout time of needing to confront one's femininity and sexuality, need abortions, choices that are made for you, and are rarely talked about and rarely make history.
You write, the past shaped the present, but the present also reshaped the past. What did you mean by that?
My mother is somebody who is incredibly powerful. She really can, when there are no parking spaces, she can make one happen. She can fit a couch too wide through a doorway. She can really, it feels to me like she can reshape the structure and the physics of the universe. But part of that power is extended towards the future, deciding that things will happen and then they happen in that way. And part of that power is also extended to the past in the sense where rather than having anecdotes that we told as a family, we had narratives that explained why certain things had happened and how they had happened in our life. And those narratives were often conflicting, that we didn't all agree on what had happened.
Did you feel they were traps?
Traps in what sense?
Well, because you had to tell narratives rather than just simply little family anecdotes.
I thought it was interesting. I mean, when I was young, it was difficult for me to be sure what my memories were. There were moments in which I became very uncertain that things had happened or not happened, and in my diary I would mark them.
It happens to everybody.
Yes. In my diary, I would mark a circled R to remind myself that things were real. But as I delved into this project and learned not only about my mother's life, but then went to France and learned about her mother's life, I realized that part of the greater truth is that there isn't just one truth. There are all these parallel truths that can coexist.
How did your mother react when you said you wanted to write about her?
She hesitated. She's a very private person by nature. And when I was growing up, she would answer my questions by saying, I'll tell you when you're older. And I think that she was, when I told her why I wanted to do this, when I told her that it was a way of confronting my father's work, and also that it was out of some feminist impulse too, because I often growing up saw my mother referred to in the shadow of my father. And by any other measure, if she hadn't married a famous man, she would be thought of as one of the most influential women in comics and in images. And I think seeing herself through that lens and seeing herself through my eyes and seeing my profound need to understand how she had become who she was willing to open herself up to me and tell me these stories.
You describe her as a fairy during your childhood.
Yeah.
What made a fairy like? And did she maintain that spirit?
That's a wonderful question. I think what made her fairy-like to me was the fact that no was never an answer for her. When they moved to New Yorker offices and she didn't have the office that she wanted, she went in on the weekend and rebuilt walls. When we needed the plumbing to be fixed, she fixed it herself. She never seemed to sleep. There was nothing that was outside of her range. What I learned while writing this book is that none of us are actually storybook creatures, but we are all creatures with stories, and we make ourselves up and we make each other up as we go along.
You also say she's unlike timid women who wash their vegetables.
Yes. Yeah, my mother didn't believe in danger, and it gave her so much power. There was a vacation when she plunged into an ocean in Brazil during a lightning storm and brought us with her. And years later, when I mentioned it, she just got defensive and said, "No one ever told me it was dangerous to swim during lightning storms." But because she didn't believe in danger, it felt like it didn't exist, and we were protected by her force field.
Did she make it clear that she favored your brother Dashiell over you, or... Was that something you just felt?
I felt that way, but that's where we talk about conflicting narratives. It's not something that my brother would agree on. It's not something that my mother would agree on. It's my experience of our shared past, but it's only mine.
Well, of course, the Smothers Brothers had a whole routine about that. Mother loved you best. You write about visiting your mother at work where she was powerful, respected, and controlled. Was that different from the person she would be at home?
No. She was powerful, respected, and in control at home as well. My father used to say, or still says, "Françoise takes care of reality, and I take care of everything else." And he meant it with such admiration, but my mom would always wince a little bit when he said that because she also has this incredibly creative side to her as well.
How did your relationship with your mother change when you became an adolescent? You write, "There was room for only one of us to be a woman."
I remember my adolescence as such an incredibly turbulent, vivid, difficult time between us. And yet now, having understood the adolescence that my mother lived through, having understood the adolescence that her mother lived through, moving back through those generations and seeing that the pain trickles down in some ways, it really allows me to place in perspective my adolescence.
You write that she ran away from Paris and her family in 1974.
Yes, I think that she needed space in order to reinvent herself. And one of the things that she said to me is that part of why she wanted, part of what she felt of freedom was realizing that in New York there were no rules. She could reinvent motherhood exactly how she wanted to have it without a blueprint.
Well, we can do that anywhere, can't we? We don't have to be the same as our parents.
I think there are ways, in so many cultures, there's this idea of sort of the impacted family secret that because nobody knows about it, repeats itself through the generations unwittingly. And I think that there are ways in which it's so difficult for us to escape the things that came before us when we don't know about them. But the more that we can find out about the past, I think the more we can work it into our lives in ways where we can both repeat it and avoid it.
My guest is Nadja Spiegelman, who's written a memoir titled "I'm Supposed to Protect You from All This." We'll get to that title in just a moment. But had you gone to Paris much when you were growing up?
We went to Paris often on family vacations because my mother's family was still there. We went usually over Christmas and over August. And it made me feel French to not like Paris, to tell other people that Paris wasn't this romantic vision they had, that it wasn't macarons, the Seine, the romance, that it was in fact long dinners with your grandparents and shopkeepers who scolded you. And then I moved there for this book and discovered a whole other city.
And now you live part-time in Paris and part-time here in New York?
Yeah, now I spend a lot of time there.
Well, I would think that there's something romantic about the fact that your grandmother, José, lived in a houseboat in the Seine.
My grandmother's such an impressive woman. She has eyeliner tattooed on her eyes. She has a shotgun above her bed. This one time somebody tried to break onto her houseboat. She must have been 65, and she had him on his knees begging for his life with a shotgun pointed at his head while she called the police. She was a very independent woman. She divorced my grandfather in the 70s when she had, in the 70s when she had three young daughters, which wasn't at all common at the time, and remade her life for herself.
But you say that your mother was Josie's least favorite child.
I think that's how my mother lived it, the same way I lived feeling that my mother had favored my brother. And I don't know that that's what Jose would say about it or what her sisters would say about it, but I think that's what's interesting.
Well, she comes off as cold and indifferent toward your mother early on in the book. Why did you decide to visit and interview her to find out if there was another side to her?
Yes, absolutely. In finding out about my mother, I discovered a woman who I had never expected, this vulnerable young girl who'd had a relationship with her mother that was even more difficult than the one I'd had with mine. And I wanted to see if that pattern repeated backwards, what Jose's mother had been like. Mothers are they're the primal and primary beginning of all things and the beginning of all stories. And so I wanted to go to my own beginning by learning about my mother, but then that beginning keeps shifting backwards to her mother, to her mother's mother, to her mother's mother's mother, until it reaches some kind of vanishing point where, like, my great-great-grandmother, Melanie, nobody could tell me much about. The only thing people would tell me about her, the people who had knew her would tell me that she had no personality, that she rarely spoke. And the only memory that my mother has of her that's vivid is of one afternoon when Melanie grabbed her colored pencils and started sharpening them with a knife. But who taught Melanie how to do that? I'll never know.
But another important figure in this is a man, your grandfather Paul, who was a famous plastic surgeon in Paris. What did you know of him as a younger man from your mother and your grandmother's stories?
I wasn't told many stories about the past until I started this book. I knew him only as my grandfather, and mostly as a grandfather who didn't particularly like children. But
he did like women.
He did like women.
He was a womanizer.
And when I transitioned from being a child to being a woman, that became complicated. But on the other hand... Because he sometimes was inappropriate. And because, as a plastic surgeon, he didn't quite understand what the boundaries were between women. But for women. But on the other hand, this book is all about how subjective our narratives can be. And unfortunately, my grandfather died before I began working on it and never gets a chance to tell his own story. I'm sure that if I'd gotten to know him, I would have discovered something different.
How do you think your grandfather's profession as a plastic surgeon and his ideas about women affected the women in your family and their ideas about femininity?
That's an interesting question. I think profoundly, because my mother once said, my parents invented superficiality. And I think that that both my grandparents were very focused on being part of this social elite world of Paris at the time, that was very much about beauty, that was about fashion, that was about living certain ways and about appearances. And I think that my mother's and her sisters have told me that growing up, being beautiful felt like the most important thing they could be. And I think that it really pushed my mother in a lot of ways to want to be something other than that, even though she was very beautiful.
At one point, your mother told you, I don't need your forgiveness. Had you asked her for it?
Well, I think I had told her that I was beginning to forgive her. But now that I've worked through this book, I think that what I've reached is not forgiveness, but a kind of profound understanding that transcends a need for forgiveness.
Has your mother read this book?
She has, yeah.
Has she given you any response?
She has. It's not easy for her. She's very private, and she also has her own version of events that are different from mine. On the other hand, she was able to find out about her mother's childhood and her mother's relationship with her mother through my book, and has told me that she's really grateful for that.
You did a lot of research for her. You've also written 3 graphic novels for children. Do you prefer doing that? I mean, I asked you earlier whether this could have been a graphic novel. It could have been a graphic memoir, couldn't it?
Well, except that I don't draw, whether through some, maybe it's something I need to talk about with a therapist. I don't think that I can. I don't want to. And the graphic novels I did for children were for my mother's publishing imprint, and I wrote the scripts, but they were drawn by other artists, which was really exciting because it was a way of seeing a world come to life. But it wasn't the same as having full authorial control in the way that you do when you're just writing.
Mm-hmm. Mouse, obviously a major part of expressing that story, your father did through his drawings.
Yes. And my father has spent his life trying to and accomplishing having comics be respected as a medium.
Now, you've also been a character in a book. You were in The Shadow of No Towers. Did that make you feel a little uncomfortable?
Yeah. But and it's interesting because my father, my mother, and I experienced September 11th very up close. We were very near the towers when they fell. And it was something that marked my life. I was 14 years old, and it marked a real turning point in terms of feeling safe and feeling not safe in the world. But yet that memory, which is so vivid for me, is drawn in my father's book and sometimes feels replaced by his cartoon panels when I try and think about it.
Now that you have written a complete book without having to collaborate with somebody else on the illustrations, is that where you're going?
Yes. I didn't think that I wanted to be a writer the whole time I was working on this. I would tell people that as soon as I was done with this, I was going into real estate. But having finished it, I know that this is what I want to do.
And Nadja Spiegelman will be in conversation with Molly Fisher tonight at Greenlight Bookstore in Brooklyn. That's at 7:30 p.m. On Thursday, she'll be speaking with Michelle Philgate at McNally Jackson at 7 p.m. For all of more information about that, you can go to wnyc.org/lopate. What kind of response have you gotten from people at book readings?
My first book reading will be tonight,
oh,
so I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, the book comes out today.
So we really are starting off the whole process of the book tour on the show?
Yes, it's my book birthday.
I feel very honored. I have known you over the years, and I'm very pleased to see that you've grown up to be a good writer and a mature woman.
Thank you.
the person you probably fantasized or hoped you'd become during all of this complicated research.
Absolutely. I know that there was a person that I hoped I would become. What was so interesting to me...
Go ahead. Music saying we're going to end this soon.
Okay. What was interesting to me in working on this was discovering that all these women in my family were unlike anybody else around them, and yet unbeknownst to themselves, they were very much like each other. And if I can take my place among them, that's something I'd be very proud to do.
Nadja Spiegelman's memoir is I'm Supposed to Protect You from All This. It's published by Riverhead Books. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.